Before it aired, fans were scratching their weaves trying to figure out what could possibly be the secret twist on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 3, and now we know. Bibi Zahara-Benet emerged from the fog of Season 1 to compete for her place in the Drag Hall of Fame.
While Bibi may have won her season, RuPaul never said you had to be a loser to get in on the fun.
Today, Mother has arrived. Vivacious, Mother of Ornacia, joins us to pick a winner of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 3 and Kiki about the new season premiere episode.
Plus, airlines are cracking down on turkeys, pigs, and snakes as comfort animals, while RuPaul announces plans for an upcoming film, Drag Queens on a Plane.
Despacito gets snubbed at the Grammys.
Pleasure-seeking robots.
And building the perfect lover out of Legos. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Now get these motherfucking drag queens off this plane. For 14 years now, Feast of Fun has brought you great conversations with some of the world's most interesting artists, because people like you took time out of their day to support this one-of-a-kind show. Ensure our future together. Visit feastoffun.com/plus and become a member, or make a donation at feastoffun.com/donate. Thank you.
Mother has arrived.
Yay!
Hello, darling.
I never get tired of hearing that, Vivacious. Ever.
Well, you know, some people use fans. Since I'm black and in the projects, it's actually a Uzi gun.
You know, I gotta tell you, I am so into voguing right now.
There are holes in the apartment, bitch.
I didn't realize voguing was making a comeback, did you?
Oh, I'm so into Vogue now. Yes, I know, I live.
Is Vanessa Hudgens, star of, what is it, High School Musical, is she being harshly judged by the viewers of All Stars?
You know what it is? It's like, you know, some people open their eyes at different times of the day. Mm. So to me, that's all it is. Some people open their eyes in the early 70s and some people open eyes in 2018.
Well, you know, she was 4 years old when Paris is Burning came out. And that's kind of was the big thing that the big show, documentary that kind of made voguing a big thing. And well, then, of course, Madonna's Vogue, too. And so, you know, you know, she wasn't there for the big zeitgeist, you know.
I would say this is my philosophy on that. If you've heard of Madonna's Vogue, then it would have been behooved you to have done your research and find out where the vein of that came from. Mm. It's not an urban myth that runs around in hush closets and pops out here and there and now and then. Vogue is literally the basis of everything that's happening on the planet. It's not new. It's not an urban myth or a legend. It's not invisible. It's not a small scintilla. It's quite huge.
You know, Willie Ninja's ghost is going, whoo!
Actually, no. Willie Ninja's ghost would have. I was good friends with Willie Ninja. Yeah. Willie Ninja's ghost would have went, ooh, bitch. That's what his ghost would have said. His ghost would have went, ooh, bitch.
Well, all is right in the world. All Stars 3 is on television, and it's kind of like that annoying friend that you love. You can't live with it, and you can't live without it. But it's really great to get all these girls back on television and see them battling for the crown. However, record scratch. She done already done had herses. Bibi Zahara-Benet, Salute to Le Monde. Season 1 winner, the All Stars of All Stars, is there, but there's more than meets the eye because it's a possibility, and Mark has a theory. Bibi Zarabaneh may not be who she seems to
well,
be.
Well, the theory is posted on Facebook by somebody, so it's gotten spread around everywhere. It's on all the forums. And basically saying, because we saw this intro with Chad Michaels and Alaska Thunderfuck, who are already winners of All Stars, and they're in the Drag Hall of Fame now. Their portraits are there. And they're walking around in outfits reminiscent of The Handmaid's Tale, right?
Handmaid's Tale, right.
And so, you know, what the theory is with the Handmaids, you know, the story with the Handmaids is like these girls, some of them are picked to become bearers of children. So for some people, they feel like it's an elevated position, right? But then once the girls get to that position, they're like, shit, this is not what it seems to be.
And The Handmaid's Tale is a dystopian future, sort of like George Orwell's 1984, but instead of like technology and intellect and man's resistance against an obedient overlord, it's hot women giving it up for their masters. Ooh.
And I guess a mole plays a big story in that.
A mole is somebody
who's infiltrated and pretend like, and they're like acting like they're part of the whole thing, but they're really just kind of spying and then reporting back to the master. And so they're saying that Bibi in some ways might be the mole.
Ooh, dun, dun,
and then she's like secretly kikiing with RuPaul about what girls are saying what. Although, of course, you know, Ru could just watch the tapes for the show, and the editors could just tell her that, too. So.
Listen, between season one and season 10 and All Stars, or wherever we are in between, RuPaul has amassed enough money. I'm convinced she has every clitoris on the show, Mike. So these girls can't get away with saying anything off record, on the record, between the record, you know, in between the sheets. And in terms of Bibi being there, I think it's a good thing, and I'll tell you why. Bibi was on the show when dinosaurs roamed the planet and Halley's Comet had just left the first solar system. And this allows, this gives, think about this. Drag Race 1 was riddled in a lot of lawsuits and copyright containments that would not allow it to be seen a lot. Now with All Stars 3, it'll give ability to give a resurgence to the original people who paved that way, because they should be seen and heard. You know, think about how low the cash prize was back then. In my head, I thought it was $25,000. Turns out it was only $20,000.
Yeah.
At that point, Uncle Sam ran off with everything she made.
Yeah, and of course, you know, Bibi really needs the money because she can't even afford shoes.
I'm not going to go there with you, and I will not agree with that comment on you. Listen, I'm size 16. They don't make a lot of shoes in my size, so I have to make boot covers to put over the one pair of shoes that I own and rhinestone it. Don't go there, honey.
It is nice to see BB without the soft focus Vaseline glow filter from season one. Mm-hmm. It's like she's in sharp, high definition. She looks fantastic, and she really has a soft, loving glow, Vaseline covered glow in her heart.
Of course she does, but you know she can cut a bitch though too. So she's very sweet, but she's smart.
She can cut a bitch,
you know, and she's clever. So it's good to see her back. And we just did an interview with her. I want to say maybe around this time last year, March or April, we interviewed her and we talked to her. It was like, any chance you got on All Stars 3? And she's like, well, I don't know if they'd have me. I mean, I already won, but I mean, who says that winners can't get on? So I don't know if she was already in talks with them at the time. I haven't gone back and listened, but maybe I'll repost the show so that people who don't have a Plus subscription yet can listen to it. Otherwise, they can just go back and to get a Plus subscription, then you'll find it in the archives.
Wait a second, Mark. You mean all our interviews, including the ones with RuPaul and Ben De La Creme and a lot of the girls Milk. And Milk
and Trixie
and Shangela.
And Shangela.
And Vivacious, even.
And Vivacious.
A lot of them.
All in the vault.
All in the vault at feastoffun.com/plus.
Slash vault.
Now, everyone was saying when the first nine queens were introduced that it really was Shangela and Trixie Mattel's battle this season. But then they introduced Bibi Zarabaneh, and then Ben De La Creme did this amazing transcendent performance. So now people are saying that maybe Ben De La Creme might be the one to the front runner. How do you feel about like the 10 queens? Who do you feel like are the stronger contenders?
I think it's going to be Shangela and Trix with a strong interest in Trixie.
Yeah.
I think Trixie is now more very centered in terms of she's been thrown against the internet. She's been thrown against the glass ceiling. She actually destroyed her own season without even winning.
Mm.
And how was she able to do that?
Well, her and Katya teamed up together and became so viral, I don't even remember who the winner of that season is. All I know is if there was supposed to be justice for Trixie, Trixie took justice by the balls and claimed the whole damn season.
Yeah, she's the one who has her own TV show now.
Well, this is what I was telling them, and we are all on the same page. Mm-hmm. Trixie and Katya were the only queens from their season that came on Cooking with Drag Queens.
And Ginger came on.
And Ginger after the fact.
Though. Okay. After it was, the other two did it.
Yes. And it was before, like, it was during the process of the season airing that we filmed those episodes.
Yeah.
They basically buckled the system and said, I'm going to start putting out content. I'm going to start putting out videos. I'm not going to wait for someone to give me my chance. I'm going to seize the moment, as they said in the movie Coco. And they seize the moment, and that's why they're where they are. And they're, of course, two extraordinarily strong, brilliant, creative people. But it is Shangela's crown to lose, is it not?
This is what I believe. When it comes to Shangela, you know, like how if you put a signal in a room, let's say a Wi-Fi signal, and after 30 feet, the signal starts to go weak. Mm-hmm. So you put a repeater box at that junction to extend the signal. Shangela being on All Stars 3 is like just a repeater junction box for her. All this is doing is just give her a little bump in more what she's already been doing. This little bump from All Stars, whether she win or lose, snatch the crown, is probably just going to give her another 7 years out into the universe.
Do you think Shangela's relying on that box a little too much? I mean, this is the third time she's used the box.
Rely on that box.
She's not. Listen, it's better to rely on the box than on the body, because at least many different things can come from the box. Mm. But she isn't relying on the box. That is part of her catchphrase. But you've not ever from season 3 and 2 when she did it, you don't see Shangela coming out of boxes that much. It's not her shtick. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, she's transcended her box, but she brought it back just to be the play on play, but she's still holla turning it out though with her hallelujahs.
Mm-hmm. And it was that wonderful Trixie's read telling her she uses it so much that she's become a holla lunatic.
And she told Milk told her she's a holla lunatic, and Milk and Trixie told her she was gonna holla lose.
That's good. did all the queens kind of expect certain queens to be on the show, and they just like feverishly wrote a bunch of catchphrases and
they know ahead of time who's going to be on it?
They do,
of course, they do, because we heard from last season with Fifi O'Hara. She actually hired a comedy writer to write some of her reads for these queens.
So then why were some of those reads, because that was their first challenge, some of them are really lackluster.
Well, some of the queens are rather lackluster.
But, I mean, they have friends.
They're talented. They can do acting. They can do dancing. They can do singing. But comedy and reading people, you know, comedy is a huge craft. I mean, there's a reason why Monique's not getting $20 million for a Netflix special. You know, you have to work on this stuff.
I think Monique is hilarious.
Well, of course she's hilarious. She was hilarious, 10 years ago when she was a touring comedian. She hasn't been touring. She hasn't been pouring out stuff, has she? I don't know.
She's had the most wins with the least nominations. She's won the most wins. A lot of people have been nominated for awards for best in comedy, but Monique has the most. She's the most highly decorated in terms of wins. Now, where things go kind of murky and scary with Monique is after she did Precious, she didn't go on the touring junket. And she cited a million reasons why she had black people poor problems in terms of not showing up to meet her responsibilities. And in the process, she destroyed her credibility with Hollywood. Mm. At that point, if you're blackballed from Hollywood, nothing's going to save you. Now, Monique, you calling out Netflix, I don't think the only other offer you're going to get a job for is Popeyes. I'm not trying to be shady. All the black people that I know are saying, oh, you know, I can't believe black people are turning on her and trying to say X, Y, and Z. I'm like, no, you have to look at what. Think about this. Who in their right mind calls out the person for offering them a deal and thinks that that person is going to turn around and be amicable in terms of what they're offering? Mm. That makes no sense. You cannot bully a corporation into giving you what you want. You cannot bully a corporation and tell its customers to please boycott them so I can get my money. And not for nothing, this is what I believe. Hey, for 2 hours, they're giving you $500,000. Guess what? None of the people that are watching you will make that in this lifetime working in one whole full year. So how about instead of being so, you know, yes, you're worth more than that. I fully understand that. But what you can do is you take, you know, they say when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Mm. Take that $500,000 and make something better out of it so that the next people, instead of people and corporations that have to deal with you, will treat you in kind respect in terms of what they want to offer you.
It would take me 15 years to earn $500,000.
I would have to blow RuPaul three times after every damn All-Stars just to try to get that money.
Did you see those robots that suck dicks on the internet? Vivacious, you're out of a job.
Yes. At first I saw it and I was actually going to post up. Oh, I think I might have a competition here. Now, the only reason why I know I won't have competition because those robots look like white girl robots. See, white girls just move their heads up and down. Black girls like me know how to suck. We have suction. Mm-hmm. So that bitch, she's just blowing, honey. If you don't have the Dyson suction where you could suck the chrome off of lead, it ain't worth it for that doll.
But honey, it's just a matter of time before that technology matures and you're going to get some fierce competition.
They are, but they will not dethrone the king of the glory hole.
Jaws nothing, is still feeding.
Yeah, there's nothing like the human touch.
No, you know, it's like they're going to have to like put you. What are they going to do? Heat up the robot's fingers or something? Because like you might heat up those fingers and electrocute that man in his bed. Something. I'm like, y'all are playing a funny game when y'all are trying to tell robots now they need to learn how to give head. Mm.
I know C-3PO on Star Wars gave mean head. That's why they kept her around.
Well, I used to call him C-3P-hole.
That's good, too. Okay, so speaking of gold queens, this season had a gold queen introduction, which I thought was very lovely and very in theme with RuPaul's Emmy drag queen appearance.
All in gold. And
very Gatsby as well. Yes, loved it.
And everybody looked gorgeous. I'm kind of like, and then I saw Bibi Zarabonet's gold look, which now I guess the photos are including Bibi in the montage.
Oh, they photoshopped her back in.
Just like Bianca Del Rio in the clown in the All-Star season.
No, I have to go take a look at that. I haven't seen that part yet. Come on, tablet.
Feel like about the queens? You know, haven't seen some of them for a while. People are like, oh, Ben De La Creme, where have you been? And Ben's been performing all this time in Seattle. She's just not been touring with the other girls.
Well, I'm sure that will be detailed ad nauseum in an upcoming episode where she'll talk about what she's been doing. Because she's been working pretty constantly in Seattle. I mean, she's she's worked before with our good friend Peaches Christ. And in production, she actually turned down working with her because she's like, I can't do it. I've got other obligations. Go ahead and do Hocus Pocus without me. So she's turning down work. So the idea that she's disappeared, I think it's going to be a fake story, really.
My whole thing on that is this. There's no need to sit there and try to bash Ben De La Creme for not being around because, listen, Drag Race is one of those luck of the draw things where you somehow get to the top, etc. And there are things that will rotate you out in terms of having those bookings or not having them. Because, I mean, if they're going to make that statement about Ben, they could kind of slightly said the same thing about Kennedy, too. She wasn't doing that much work for somebody that was in a top four position, and Ben was in the top five. And Kennedy was in a season that's a little bit more accessible than season six. So, you know, there's no need to sit there and try to like rip a girl apart for something like that. You know, it's just the luck of the luck of the turn in terms of what, you know, what's going on. Now, as for her being congenial, I say she reminds me of Sarah Palin. Smile in your face, cut off your legs with a smile. But that's just me with a quote.
What do you think about Aja and Kennedy Davenport's very gymnastic death drops and turns and flips in their performances in the talent shows?
Technically speaking, the winner should have been Kennedy Davenport with Aja, because that was some fierce. Yes, that was some fierce matrix.
Vivacious.
Shit.
You think that Kennedy and Aja should have been the winners of the lip sync?
No, it's a talent show.
The variety show.
For the variety show, yes. Who do you know who can do a side clip into and land on a side platform? I have never seen that from nobody.
I've seen that. I've seen the Vixen do that here in Chicago. She did that at the Jackhammer. We might even have it on film.
Well, guess what? The only person that I know who's been doing that for the longest time is Kennedy Davenport, and that was even way before Drag Race. And so to then see Aja being this younger queen taking what she picked up from FKA Twigs with one of the tracks that they did a while back, and then took it to a new level in terms of she came out with the samurai sword, she came a slay, she did the duck walk, and she did all that voguing. Yes, it was good to see a younger generation and embracing the Vogue culture and making it her own. So yes, they were both good.
Well, the thing with Ben, though, is that Ben's performance was super fun. And we've seen a lot of people mention online, too, that, like, if you can make RuPaul laugh, because, you know, drag is supposed to be fun, if you can make her laugh, you're going to win the challenge. And I think, you know, you can visibly see her laughing at this because, you know, it was ridiculous. It was a send-up of gender, of sexuality. And so, you know, making RuPaul laugh is what got her the win.
But I got to say, RuPaul's reaction when Aja death drop from, I think that was like 5 feet in the air.
It was shock.
It was like her eye just went, you know?
I think in RuPaul's head, she's like, oh shit, there goes my lawsuit.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, whatever happened to all those Jesse White tumblers? They all grew up to become drag queens. Like, you know, what Kennedy Davenport's doing, a round off without touching the ground, without her hands, onto a platform, that's definitely a gymnastics skill. You know, that's somebody who's trained extensively, not just in dance, but in that. And I can foresee, you know, in the future, if the Olympics are still around, there'll be a
drag dancing
competition.
I don't think that'll happen anytime soon.
No.
If they can have synchronized swimming, they can have drag dancing.
The world isn't ready for that yet, honey. That's why I left season 6 early. My spikes was too demonic for middle America. And look what happened after Trump came into office. Everything went back 500 seconds. We're not ready for that yet.
Do you know the most disturbing trend of Trump in the White House is that Americans' opinions of LGBT people are now worse and in the majority than they were before Trump came into the White House and in the minority? So more Americans think poorly of LGBT people now than they did before Trump came into office.
This is quite disconcerting.
And I'm like, talk about that window closing, RuPaul. Shit, honey, you better get yourself a truck and break down that door, honey, and the wall and the window and make sure it can't be closed again.
You know, I think, you know, there's a rumor running around that there might be a certain amount of queens from very prominent states that have entered into season 10. And maybe there's a reason why that was done, because certain states, when it comes to drag queens, are very, they get more vocal in the face of adversity, where other states shut themselves down.
So you think in season 10 we're going to see a lot of queens from like Alabama and Mississippi and Florida and so on?
No, because to New me York. Those are the states I think those would be the states that would shut themselves down more in the face of these types of adversity. So what they're doing is find the states where those people who were like, I'm here to buck the system, I'm here to fight back, and I really don't care what you have to say, I'm going to put myself in your face. And she's using that as a form of a not so much a weapon as a beacon of encouragement and hope to go, these girls are not backing down in this time. Neither should you. Over time, you know, we will find the strength to be united and, you know, to try to resist everything that's going on, you know, but by their presence out there, it'll help people. It'll give people something to hold on to, latch on to. You know, it's really sad to know that the opinions of the LGBT community has plunged. And, you know, it's taken so long to try to build it, to get it to the proper section, you know. I shouldn't say section, to a proper notice, a notoriety that it's now been put back into the trenches again. But this is a testament to the whole United States right now. I believe after that maggot leaves office, everything's going to reset itself. And the people who were trying to be the negative ones to bring back, you know, the days of Germany, they're going to realize that their thoughts have consequences.
So let's talk about some of the drag queen All-Stars 3 contestants. Morgan McMichaels, who everybody says is super nice and lovely and generous. And she's coming across as this, you know, what is a snake in the grass? Too.
Machiavellian. She's like, I'm going to send home the most talented.
There's nothing Machiavellian about Morgan McMichaels. There's nothing snake in the grass about Morgan. I've worked with Morgan countless times. She's very upfront. She's very honest. She's very blunt.
Because She was all that. They got to send her home.
Listen, regardless of them sending her home, let me tell you something. One of the reasons why it's not going to bother Morgan in any way, shape, or form. Morgan does quite well. She's one of the real true performers out there. It's not a thing about look at my makeup. Oh, my makeup is fierce, and all I have is my beauty. Morgan can back up the beauty and the makeup with being a performer, unlike some other people that are on other seasons that have gotten away because of just looks. So Morgan will be fine. You know,
Morgan books the girls and pays them well and has them stay in her chateau in Ontario, California.
Yes, in Riverside. She takes good care of them, you know, so she'll be fine. And I'm a big Morgan. I was initially rooting for Morgan and Shangela. Those are my two tops.
What do you think about Thorgy Thor, the professional musician from Brooklyn, who is still got a chip on her shoulder about Bob the Drag Queen?
Is that a real chip, or is she just pretend? Like, because they performed together before. Does she really not like him, or is she just acting? What's going on there?
I don't know, because it's like one day I went out to a club and I saw a bunch of drag queens in the basement, and they didn't even know it was me as a boy. And I heard they were just reading her to filth. It seems like some people in New York don't like her, even though they've worked with her in multiple places. So from hearing that comment and then hearing her make this comment on All-Stars 3, I think it's real. But that's kind of sad if that's the case, because, honey, Bob already done one hers, and she's doing quite well, and she's about to be in Angels in America. So worry about you and don't worry about her and breathe.
Did you hear they're bringing back West Side Story? They're refilming it. And this time they're actually going to get Puerto Rican actors in it. And Rita Moreno, of course, is going to make a cameo.
That's actually quite wonderful. I will probably be one of the people there with my Puerto Rican roommate to go and see that.
What do you feel like is going to hold Shangela back, if anything?
The only thing I could feel that might hold her back is she said that she's now gotten the makeup part together, the hair and the sewing. So I'm hoping it's not just talk and we'll get to see it. Because I believe once you've conquered those three regions, you're quite good. I don't think you're going to throw a choreography challenge to mess up Shangela. I don't think you're going to throw an acting challenge to mess her up. I don't think you're going to throw an impromptu challenge to mess her up. I don't think you're going to throw a singing challenge to mess her up. And if she went home, they'll try some snarky technicality to use that, because maybe they might be gearing for who they want to get there. In that sense, you know, rumors on Reddit is like, Trixie is a winner. I'm like, why not Shangela?
What about Milk? I mean, you know, talk about somebody who relies on that body.
Well, you know, his variety show performance is probably, I'd say, the most one, like, where people are divided on. Some people thought it was really cute, and they thought it was very clever, and a lot of people are, like, tired, done before.
With the paper doll dresses.
Not interesting. Yeah, the paper doll dresses thing. Right. How do you feel about it?
My roommate and all his friends said it should have been Milk and Chi Chi in the bottom. And, you know, it's like, I was like, interesting. It's like, I get where Milk was coming from with that type. You know, he's from the Susan Barsh scene. It's all about fashion. And it was kind of like him playing that Russian vixen. Fashion, darling. What's her name from the Incredibles? Elmira, whatever. Mm-hmm. The one who made the costumes. Yes. It seemed like having that mentality, doing all of that stuff. So it was cute. It was, you know, it was very interesting. The question is, what else does she have for the other challenges? Yeah. You know, it's like, you got to look. If you look inside that room, she approaches drag from a quirky, it's just drag point of view, whereas the other girls, they do it because, no, honey, I take this seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can see the energy is two different things. It's like, you would not call Kennedy Davenport doing some stunt like that. It's like, no, she takes it seriously.
Mm-hmm. I would love to see James Whiteside, Milk's boyfriend, in a future, you know, season of Drag Race. Because
does he do drag?
Yeah. Oh. He's a phenomenal drag queen. And he's the one who got Milk into it.
Well, then there you go. You know, the thing with the performance, though, too, is like, you know, we saw him do that. What was it? The Divas of Drag tour. Mm-hmm. So it was something
with Trixie.
With Trixie was in it, and Mimi, I'm First, and was it Latrice?
Latrice Royale. Yeah. Mimi and Latrice were hosting it.
They were hosting it, and he did that routine too. And so he'd walk over to the side of the stage and put some other thing on. But I feel like he had more costume changes because I feel like this one he only had like maybe three.
This one, yeah. This one was only three. The other one was about like seven or eight.
Yeah, I think they saw the actor like, oh no, girl, you're getting three changes and that's it.
The other thing too, the first time we saw it, mm-hmm. all the dresses were white. Yeah. They were just like black and white drawings. Mm-hmm. And this was, you know, they were colored, they were textured, there mm-hmm. was glitter.
Upgraded and mm-hmm. now had sequin on them.
Do kids still play with those things anymore, though?
Nobody knows what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, when I was a little kid, like, some of my sisters would have those, like, you know, those books.
Snap-on toys, yes.
Yeah, and so you'd cut them out, or you'd perforate, they're perforated and whatever, or you would cut them out and then put them on your little dresses and you could dress them up. But, you know, I don't know, it was a very flat performance in that respect.
Aja, you know Aja pretty well from New York City.
I know Aja, yes.
What's our skill that we haven't seen? What have we not seen of Aja that we can look forward to season All Stars 3? Yeah.
Does she have a meaty tuck?
I think Aja knows how to hide the sewer pipe. She's doing good, and somebody actually posted a link online and tried to zoom in and said in her one of her costumes coming up, you can see her meaty tuck to the side. It was on Instagram like a few days ago. I'm like, okay, either that skin or a wrinkle in that area, and somebody's trying to make something out of something that's not there. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but my thing is, I don't look at a queen in that section of their extremities. I'm looking at the overall performance.
I love her new Eurekan hooker realness, and it's like, and you know, but also it's kind of that, but also if Strawberry Shortcake was a New Yorican hooker.
Strawberry Shortcake meets New Yorican meets Harajuku.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a wonderful combination of different styles, and you know, her personality is really fun, and of course, you can't forget, you know, look at you, you're a model. Did you stone that gown? Aw, she looks like Linda Evangelista. If we could get an iconic moment, that was the best moment for her season.
I think that was the best moment. That and when she read her at the end for you're not Miss Congenial, I mean, you're not congenial. I believe that what she did on the reunion is what snagged her the position for All Stars 3. She literally kidnapped the whole reunion. I mean, did you see Eureka's face when Aja said it? Eureka nearly fell through the Holy Spirit. She was like, boom. bitch.
Well,
it was one of those.
From what I understand, the girls get like into the top five. Like as you progress in the competition, they make you sign new contracts. And so maybe if you're in the top five, four, or definitely in the top three, you have to sign a contract that says, so we've heard, that you will be willing to participate in All Stars. And so, you know, if
she's committed to it.
So you're committed to it, whether, you know, whether they choose to use you or not, you know, or whether it works out or not, they can.
Right. But Asha wasn't in the top. She was in the bottom seven or something like that for her season.
Was she really? I thought she at least got to top five. No.
No, no, no. What happened is this. Mm-hmm. Asha.
She sure made a splash, though. You know.
Well, there's an interview coming out tomorrow on a different YouTube channel, and she said she knew there's no way she's going to make it to the top. But she says she know what her strengths are. She says she know that she will be good for TV. Mm. And she goes, look, she goes, I had all these motherfuckers fooled in terms of they thought that I was in the top positions, and she was nowhere near that when she got eliminated. She, you know, Asha, her generation has the gift of internet gab. Mm. She has that, she knows how to sell herself on the internet. Mm. You know, everything, that's what she was doing leading up to the announcement of her season. I mean, she talked herself into numbers of internet likes on social media likes that she wasn't even supposed to have had before they even introduced her season. And by the time they got to her season and she left early, everyone was gagging. But you know what? Asha is one of those girls that the more you try to push her down, she comes back stronger. Mm-hmm. And as she says, she's in the I don't give a fuck section. Listen, they have literally went online and have bashed Asha to death for no reason, other than it was their way of trying to use words to control her. And it got really bad. And, she, you know, she did things on her end to fix some of the things that she, you know, don't need them to talk about. People always try to sit there and be like, oh, she has a crater face. Well, she ain't got one now. She has no chin. She ain't got that now. Oh, she, her makeup was horrible. Well, guess what? She's improved her makeup between then and now.
So now I've been reading online a lot of people making comparisons to Trump supporters, to fans of RuPaul's Drag Race, in the sense of how vicious and, you know, ignorant some of these people can be. I mean, obviously not all fans of Drag Race are this way, but the ones that are just, they spoil the fun for everybody.
Let me tell you a story. I met this girl from junior high school, and when her cousin told her that she was good friends with me, she's like, "Oh my God, I'm a big fan of the Drag Race show." And the girl said that there's a lot of kids, and she said that about 60% of the kids from her junior high school watches RuPaul Drag Race, and she said that everyone stays away from them because they're considered the meanies.
What's going on there? Like, wouldn't Drag Race inspire people to be more kinder and gentler and
vivacious? Vivacious inspires her personal fans to be more kinder and compassionate. I have zero tolerance on my page for those types of people. And the sad part is the other queens, they do not do that. They're afraid that if they speak up to their fans and be like, I'm not here to tolerate that language from you, that people are going to bash them. Sweetie, the reason why my internet numbers are low, if you went to the block section on my Instagram, you'd be like, really, Vivacious? You block 30,000 plus people? I said, yes. I don't have time for these motherfuckers. You get
just
one chance
the comments.
I'm a believer in that, too. Yeah,
I'm not ignoring your comment. I'm going to read the comment, and you have one chance to call me a cool nigga motherfucking bitch. But the next time you try to mention my name in your mouth, Instagram will be sending you a little notification that the name that you try to just link to don't feature your ass. Arrivederci, bitch.
Well, in that case,
And that's the thing about it is like, you know, life is too short and there's plenty of people who are loving and accepting in this world. There's no need to waste your time with ignorant haters
it's also the nature because the television show is a competition. So it kind of gets people in that mindset to take sides and to root for this person and to not root for that person.
For instance, almost any single day when you turn on Instagram, it's the RuPaul's Drag Race putting up a girl's picture from their season going to the boot. You open up that dialogue for people to come up with rude things to say. There's a saying that I learned from the club scene back in the early days from Peter Gation. He owned four clubs in New York City, Limelight, Tunnel, Palladium, and Club USA. He said, club patrons should be seen and never heard. And that's the same way how I feel with fans. They should be seen and never heard. They should not be given a platform because if you keep listening to everything that somebody has to say, you'll never get anything. There was one child who kept sending me an ad on Facebook. Could you add me? I'm a big fan. Would you like to know the person's name? Because I sent her to the gulags too.
Why? What'd she do?
Dan has the nerve to send me something the other day, must have been 3 weeks ago. You need to change your makeup and try to look more like Aja.
Listen, be nice to Vanessa Hudgens. She's new to all this.
Hold on. Let me find this. Let me find it. Because I'm that bitch, honey. I'll call you by your first name because I don't care.
I'm not going to let you give that person attention, sweetie. Listen, let's talk about Trixie Mattel. So she's a lot of people are very thinking this is Trixie's season to win. Hot Topic already came out with a doll for Trixie Mattel along with RuPaul
and Alaska.
So is there any use pretending that she's not going to take it?
This is what my grandmother would say, but my grandmother has been a Christian her whole life, so this is what future Grandma Vivacious would say. Hashtag foreshadow foreskin.
What does that mean?
Bitch, that sounds like a foreshadow.
Oh, you're thinking they're setting Trixie Mattel not to win it, or do you feel like...
No, that might be the foreshadow of saying Trixie won the season.
Yeah. I mean, if they're selling products and they're putting money into selling expensive products with Trixie's likeness in it.
Let's be realistic. Trixie is very marketable. She has a Miss Piggy look. What do I mean by that? I'm not saying she is Miss Piggy or she looks like Miss Piggy. What I'm saying is she has a distinctive look that makes, the minute you see that style of makeup, the first thing you go is Trixie. Anybody else who puts all of that stuff on their face, regardless of if your name is Atrocious Vaginucious, they will still go Trixie. So she has a marketable look. She has a marketable name. I'm actually surprised that Mattel hasn't come for her ass yet.
Well, she could just drop and just be Trixie and people still know her, you know?
Right. But, you know, I guess Mattel is like, you know what would be really fierce if Mattel decides to sponsor a Trixie Mattel doll? That would be motherfucking over because Trixie would be set for her life.
Fausto and I are absolutely enjoying the documentary that's on Netflix right now called, like, Where Our Toys Came From? Is that what it is? Something like that. And it tells the inside story of, like, these different toy lines and their ups and downs. There's so much drama, like, with Barbie and with He-Man Masters of the Universe.
The toys that made us.
Highly recommend it. It's really fun to watch.
The only one that I've watched so far is Lego because I'm a big Lego bitch.
Oh, yeah. You were building something like last week we talked to you and you were building something with Lego.
I was building it's called Lego Technics and it's a 1900 piece tractor, which is about 18 inches long, 15 inches high. Sounds like the size of what I want a white boy to be in my bed.
Build your own white boy.
Build your own white boy. Fuck. Yes. Screw the robotic things, honey. Build your own white boy.
The thing about, you know, Lego sex dolls is that, you know, if you step on them on your foot, you're still going to hurt.
It hurts.
Now, when you were a little boy in Jamaica or a little girl, I'm not sure how you identified when you were a child.
I always thought I was my mother. I always thought I was my mother.
What kind of toys did you play with in Jamaica?
Oh, bitch. Jamaica was third world country, poor honey. I've never seen a bouncing handball until I came here at age 9. Let me tell you how. First off, here's the key. When I was from age 4 until age 7, which I was in Jamaica until I was age 7, I had perfect eye-hand coordination, and I still do. So in Jamaica, this is what we had for a ball. So remember, Jamaica is a third world country. I don't care if somebody...
We call them developing nations now.
Okay, well, yeah. Jamaica
no
was
a...
Jamaica was a contest. This is not RuPaul's Drag Race of Nations.
Jamaica is a developing nation. Mm-hmm. So every morning before school started at 9 o'clock, we would play this game called Sightings. Sightings was you had to try to dodge the ball. That's what they call dodgeball over here. Because if they miss you, you go sight. So the ball was made out of a milk carton stuffed with other milk cartons until it got very compact. And then we kept banging it into the wall or into the ground until the corners shaped like a ball. And it was heavy as a softball. And that's what we would use as a ball. And we would also use that to play baseball. Now, when we play baseball, it's played with our hands. So you would throw up the ball in the air like you're serving it like a tennis, and you slap the ball with the palm of your hand, and then you had a run from first to second to third base. There was no such thing as a bouncing ball where I came from in Jamaica.
Well, that and your language is really the ultimate plaything for a lot of people of modest means.
Well, we're also very inventive. For instance, we would take the we knew how to make a lot of traps. We knew how to make darts just from like regular things found around. I think one of the reasons why I'm very creative is because when you have nothing, you have to learn how to create.
You know what our favorite toy to play with as kids?
Munch and trade. Yes, I know. I heard about it.
We would take dried seeds, these little seeds. I forget the name of them, but they were basically like, they were about the size of a stone peanut. And we would put nail polish on them, and we would drill a hole in them and tie them to a string. And we would try to smash each other's seeds with a string. It was kind of like chicken fighting, but with seeds, hard little seeds.
That's weird and complicated and kind of gay.
And that was the hot game when I was a kid.
That's very interesting.
That was the thing, yeah.
In Jamaica, we had seasonal games based on the season. So, for instance, around wintertime, the coconut trees would start to shed some of its barks. So that's the time of the year that we would play baseball. The base of one of the limbs from the coconut is actually shaped like a triangle with a skinny top that can be held as like a bat. The bottom part is very thick, which is what when you play cricket. So we would cut off the coconut limbs from it and use that section to make the bat that, and then we would throw that same ball that I talked about, and we would play cricket with that.
We would take the leaves of a palm tree, and if you peel it just right, you can make the other half of the leaf rocket into the air like a rocket ship.
What?
Yeah, so, imagine like the palm tree is this long, skinny leaf with a stem in the middle. If you peel one side really quickly, the other side takes off up into the sky, and it's really quite dazzling. this is, nature and toy, right, when we think of like things, it was the beach, it was the leaves and toys and rocks and seeds, and that was the toys what we wanted to play with. We played with hermit crabs and lizards and little spiders and all sorts of things like that.
Now, you see that palm leaf that you're talking about in Jamaica, we took the middle part, we call that the bona.
Yeah,
we would take that. We take that part off it and sharpen it with a knife, and take the leaves that you ripped off and form a four-sided thing that would be on the back of the dart. And we would wrap it with parts of the leaf and hold it in place and tie it. And we would use those and make arrows to shoot them.
You know, this is really happy memories for me bringing up.
Same here.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you and I would have been such good friends as little kids.
I know. It's like the Puerto Rican meets the Jamaican halfway in the ocean while the black one drowns because she can't swim.
You can't swim, Vivacious?
Bitch, I'm black. No, I don't swim. When
you
I was
on an island.
He grew up on an island. Listen, I grew up in Puerto Rico. There's tons of kids that I knew that could not swim. And I was like, okay, how the fuck? What do you do when you go to the beach? And they're just like, they don't get into the water.
Let me explain why I can't swim. At age four, my parents took me to the beach to learn how to swim. And in Jamaica, they have riptide currents that when it comes to the shoreline,
yeah,
it has the ability to take out, either leave the shoreline intact or physically rip out the shoreline by about a 15-foot to 35-foot drop. And that was by the shoreline where everybody was standing, and the riptide came in and ripped out the whole thing, and I plunged down 35 feet into the salty and nearly got dragged out into the ocean. So that became my first trauma from trying to learn how to swim.
Aww. Poor girl.
The second time around, I was on the beach with my parents, and a crazy Rastafarian from a psych ward escaped, and he tried to chase me across the beach with a machete, trying to kill me. So that's two traumas right there. Now let me tell you the third trauma. I was convinced that I wasn't going to let this get the best of me, and I was going to try to figure out how to swim. So in 1981, a major hurricane happened in Jamaica, and the property that my parents owns, a 100-foot waterfall falls through my property and goes out into the ocean. I decided to go down to that waterfall section after most of the water subsided and try to see if I could learn how to swim in the river section off that water because it wasn't moving so much. Well, turns out there was a homeless man on the other side of the property in the bushes taking a shit. And I was walking towards him inside my own property up the river. And all I heard was, go back. I slipped in the water and kept flipping over and over in the water and almost ended up back into the ocean 5 miles down the hill.
Damn,
so at
girl.
That point, this black bitch ain't trying to swim.
Have you ever tried a pool?
I go to bed at night and I've dreamt that just the one drop from the shower that falls out fell on top of me and covered me over and killed me.
Mm.
So that should answer your answer about swimming.
I'm mad that Despacito, which really, you know, arguably is probably one of the biggest songs, at least on YouTube ever. And certainly a song that's, paid tribute to by people all around the world. And it was this monster hit from Puerto Rico, was completely snubbed at this year's Grammys.
Well, so my roommate, he's from Puerto Rico. Yeah. So we were in the kitchen talking, and I said to him, I thought Despacito was sung by Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm. He joined in, and certainly Despacito would not be the monster hit it is if it wasn't for Justin Timberlake involved.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. I mean, Justin Bieber. Right. So, it's weird that it didn't. I mean, if there's 5 billion people that watch it, you would think that that would be a track that would be a contender. But at least they were able to feature them on the Grammys. However, could we talk about that stick in the mud model that came out in the middle of the track? Why didn't you just use one of the dancers to play that role instead? She looked like she was stuck on stage.
She was she was
from the video.
From the video, she's a beauty pageant winner.
They should have told her to stay home.
But people know her from the video, and they wanted her to share in that moment because they were like,
right. But sweetie, she knew she was going to be on that video, and I'm sure she's heard that song from the time the video happened. Bitch, go to some dance classes. You look stuck.
She's Zuleika Rivera. She's a Miss Puerto Rico Universe 2006.
I don't care if she was 8, 9, 10, or 11. You knew you were going to be on TV, and you were going to try to do something more than just walk and be a face. She went down the move and there was no energy, no nothing coming from her. She looked like she was off rhythm. It's like, come on, mija, get that together.
I'm sorry, Zuleika, but Vivacious isn't having it. You're up
but
for
I'm
elimination.
But I'm not the only one who felt that way. Everybody on my Facebook feed has been reading her since she showed up to the screen.
She is gorgeous, though. If you see her up close, oh my God, she's perfection, mm-hmm. you know?
I only look at males, honey. I'm gay.
Well, did you look at Miley now that she's given up her blackness and now she's in a ball gown singing
with Elton
John?
What do you mean giving up her blackness? Miley will never give me up.
Well, she was criticized recently because she said that she wasn't that girl in the twerking video. And so she was like going to go back to her roots or something like that.
Well, now she's a pretty in pink, right?
You know.
First of all, Miley, you're royalty, and you've been always gorgeous. You could do whatever the hell you want, and you don't need to explain nothing to nobody, because if they're a true fan of yours, like me, whatever you do, I'm here for you. So don't explain to people nothing, honey. Just do you.
Well, it is weird that she would feel like she had to say something like that.
But that's the complaint, though, is that she wasn't doing her. She was appropriating black culture.
That's not true. Who said that?
A lot of people have said it. Google it, girl. It's all over the internet.
Well, it's a common comment to make.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, what Vivacious danced with Miley Cyrus.
Appropriating black culture? Then if that's the case, I should go to prison for appropriating white men in my mouth.
It doesn't work like that.
I'm just saying. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
I think my favorite part of the whole Grammys thing was at the end when they were doing the thing for like best book, and they had all the celebrities reading from Fire and Fury.
And Hillary Clinton. Yes, bitch! Miss Hillary came to read!
And Hillary Clinton read an excerpt about Trump's love for fast food, and I guess I didn't realize that Trump does surprise appearances at McDonald's where he feels safe in eating the food because he comes unannounced and he knows the food's already been made ahead of time. Because
He's afraid he's going to be poisoned.
Like the Russians do.
And that's how you know that he's like in cahoots with the Russians, because that's what the Russians do. They poison people all the time.
If he's worried about being poisoned, nobody taught him to suck Putin's dick, honey. Eat the change. Mm-hmm.
But Hillary sure did seem to love reading that book. She was just like, because it's so ridiculous.
She relished every single line. It was delicious.
I'm a little surprised that she went there, but, you know.
She's having fun.
Yeah.
No. I think she should. Because I'm going to tell you why. When, you know, people always keep trying to say, oh, you need to take the high road. Yes, it's a quote from Michelle Obama. But when people have shown you that they can stoop into the gutters and they can get away with everything, sometimes you got to join them down there and play at their level.
Now, I was fixing myself something to eat when Sting started singing with Shaggy. And I was like, you know, I didn't realize that you and Shaggy have a very similar voice, where it's kind of, you know, it's this deep, rich, thick way of talking. And is that something like that's, you know, are there people in Jamaica that have a voice that sounds like this, or is it everyone has a very thick, rich voice?
I would say almost. Listen, in my interview for RuPaul's Drag Race, one of the lines that I wrote is, the Jamaicans are the Klingons of planet Earth.
Why do you say that?
Because, let me tell you something.
Do we eat blood worms?
No, sweetie. Jamaicans are like this. Today is a good day to die. A Jamaican, every Jamaican house has a machete to chop somebody up. Every Jamaican house has a bottle of acid ready to throw it on somebody. A Jamaican will walk into a room full of gay people, just one Jamaican, and he will stand on his Christian belief and try to kill everybody in that room just because he's Jamaican.
He's like, you cannot have done with it.
Listen, even if you told the Jamaican that he's going to be fired from work because of what he believes, he will take the firing, kill the owner who said it, and kill everybody else in the room and walk out and be like, and what? You're going to send me to jail? Bring the police officer.
Wow.
Well, did you see Shaggy singing with Sting, and then he goes, "I'm a Jamaican in New York." And I was like, "You got to rewrite Sting's song Englishman in New York and write make it about yourself." And I was like, "You could take that singing style and really." You know, because you're putting out singles and music and a lot of music. Right.
No, I plan on doing a Jamaican house track. It's called "If I Kill It, I Kill It, I Kill Me." So we've been working on the beat for that for a while. I'm waiting for the guy to get the some producers are very when it comes to house music, they're very finicky. Mm. Like they're still working on the kick drum, saying it has to be perfect. And I'm like, girl, ain't nobody got 8 months to wait for a perfected kick drum. Just put out the damn track already.
Well, get your machete and walk down to his office and be like, where's my goddamn kick drum? Because I'm from Jamaica and I will.
And I want it yesterday.
Mm-hmm. You will give me my kick drum or you shall feast on my machete.
What about Rihanna's duet with DJ Khalid?
I loved it.
And am I getting his name right?
I think it's Khaled or Khalidia, one or the other.
Khaled.
Yeah, Khaled. I'm first of all, anything Riri, I'm down for.
Yeah, I mean, I had to say all the costumes that they were dancing on stage were so fantastic. Had you shown up in that moment, I would not have been surprised. Like, you could have totally fit in with that scene. It was almost as vivacious designed all the costumes.
Yeah, it was one of those. I loved everything about it. It's like, you know, it's like Riri has a fierce voice. Everything about Miss Fenty is everything. So it's like, I'm going to be up there, you know, screaming for her regardless. And, you know, there's been rumors, you know, that she is thick. I'm like, no, she's just a mature woman. Calm down.
Mm. What do you mean by that she's thick, that she's put on weight?
Right. The people have been going around trying to say that, you know, like photoshopping pictures of her for like the last for many months, etc. And trying to go, yeah, see, that's Riri. She's thick. And I'm like, no.
I got to say, like a lot of those rumors are probably started by the agents of the artists themselves. So when you see them in public, you're like, you look fantastic. You know,
you're not fat at all. Yeah.
You know, part of it is like when we interviewed Trixie Mattel, I think it was right after she had started touring on RuPaul's Drag Race. She asked us to ask her about the Freshman 15 that a lot of queens experience, you know, they're traveling a lot, they're stressed out, there a lot of them have really good food made available to them, and so, you know, they put on a little extra weight.
Oh yeah.
And we asked her about that on the show, and to this day people, her fans or somebody out there,
people that don't like us,
won't let us live it down, even though those questions were agreed upon beforehand.
And now, like, the people were talking about, like, during the reading challenge they read her for being heavy, and so it was just like, okay, now can we talk about Trixie's weight? Now that it's been on TV, do we get your approval?
Yeah, well, you know, it's like Trump supporters. You're not going to win by arguing with them.
Well, here's the thing. My thing on Trixie is, Trixie, do you. Put it this way. I would date Trixie in a heartbeat. She's a cute fucking boy.
And she's, you know, packing heat.
I don't know anything about her.
She makes mouth happy.
Listen, if you ask Trixie, are you hung? She'll tell you she's hung.
Yes.
I don't know any. Well, I don't look at her from the waist down. I look at her from the head up and from the heart. You know, she's a funny. You know, she reminds me of. She reminds me of Lady Bunny's replacement 20 years from now in the future.
Mm. Right? I do see that there's a lineage, and certainly, you know, Trixie will be the first to admit she's very much inspired by Lady Bunny, as all of us are.
I love it. Everything about, and you know me, I'm a big Lady Bunny fan. And so to find, because I'm still waiting to see my vivacious replacement, but to know that Bunny's is already existing, it's cool, because it means soon mine might show up too. Don't you motherfuckers get no ideas of trying to tell me, oh, I'm your replacement, bitch, I'll chop your head off.
Do you have a machete?
Yes, I do have a machete.
Oh, my God.
Actually, not only do I have a machete, I have about 13 martial arts weapons, including scythes and swords, broad swords and katanas, the whole nine yards. Yes.
Do you know how to chop the flesh off of a coconut in order to get to the sweet, sweet pulp in the center?
No, honey, that's called a Jamaican by the seashore, then that's his living. I don't mess with it like that.
Well, what do you do with a machete then?
Chop up people.
Oh my.
It's a weapon.
She uses it for their haters.
It's a deterrent weapon for most Jamaican homes.
Was it banned, blocked, and chopped? Well, you literally give them the chop.
Literally chopped. Yes. A literal chop, honey. Chop.
Oh my God, honey, be careful.
Well, no, chop, please. If that's the case, then Trump might as well go arrest every Jamaican they have a machete. Because everyone in this country has one.
Also, before we move on from the Grammys, Fats Domino's, Chuck Berry, Tom Petty, they paid tribute to a lot of the legendary entertainers. But one thing I was really confused is they were doing Tears in Heaven, Eric Clapton's song, just out of nowhere. And well, I was like,
it's a song about people up in heaven. So we're quickly Googling, is Eric Clapton dead?
And everyone on the internet's like, Eric Clapton is dead. They're performing his song at the Grammys.
I know, right? It's like, why didn't you find one of the tracks from one of those artists that could have been poignant for the moment and use that track?
They could have done Fats Domino. Ain't that a shame? You're the one to blame. You killed me with your machete.
you could have done I Found My Thrill on Blueberry Hill and just played that through the whole damn thing. And they'd be like, okay, makes sense. We know what that track is. And still put up their names, etc. Yeah, I know. There's like they try to I think that's the Grammys' way of telling Eric Clapton he's next, like how they did to Whitney and Michael Jackson. Ooh, shade.
Now, you fly a lot at different gigs, and your comfort animal on an airplane is your wigs and your dresses and your DJ equipment, right? But a lot of people, when they get on an airplane, they usually bring a dog or a cat or some sort of, security blanket or something. And I guess Americans have been getting more into comfort animals because it's not a very regulated space. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing in pigs, turkeys, spiders, like a tarantula, mm-hmm. and even snakes. And what so Delta this week said, you can't be bringing a turkey and a pig on the this is part of the reason why All Stars tours on a bus. And so they're basically telling these people, don't bring your crazy animals on the airplane. Put them in a cage and put them in storage.
I have a problem with people trying to pull, because I know a few people that have lied and had doctors sign and said, this is a therapy animal. I'm like, bitch, you don't need no therapy.
Well, I mean, some people have legitimate medical concerns and certainly like, having their comfort animal. A blind person, for example, is one example of a person who needs a seeing eye dog on their airplane.
That's in a whole different category. These are people who are just using this as a clout to try to make it seem as though my dog isn't a part of the family, so I'm going to put him in this category so he could be upfront with me.
Stop. So Delta's saying don't bring that. It's like don't even.
I would like to see. I would like to see them try to do that on Jamaican Airlines. I guarantee you, by the time that plane lands, that dog will be cooked food that was served for dinner. See, Jamaicans don't play. We don't have time for none of that stuff. As much as the country is homophobic, Jamaicans are very blunt objects. They don't have time for foolishness.
Well, so you heard that RuPaul has announced, I guess, a new film that's in the works called Drag Queens on a Plane.
Ooh, well, they have comfort animals on there.
Well, I think that it's interesting because, I felt like Star Booty was Star Booty, the movie that we saw before RuPaul's Drag Race came on the air, was a sequel to Star Booty. Mm. And so there's talks that Drag Queens on a Plane might be a sequel to Star Booty. which would be fantastic, I think.
The question is, will she be acting in it, or she will be having a Drag Race girls doing all the acting while she's directing?
I would think it would be a missed opportunity if RuPaul isn't on camera.
I would think she would want to be on camera for that, right?
Well, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, true, it would be fun. The question is, does she want to be around all these people day and night? It's like, is she going to get one of those big trimmers and she stay off in the back and not deal with them until
she
it's
won't
action?
Deal with them too much, but she'll be around. You know, she'll do what she can. She'll reclaim some of her time.
I welcome anything that Mother Ru does because I believe it opens up a dialogue on the planet. It gives.
How far into production is this thing, or has it just been announced?
I think they're in the process of writing it.
Okay.
And casting it. So if you want to be on RuPaul's Drag Queens on a Plane, send in your audition tapes.
You know how that works. You know how that works, right? They take the top five from all 19 seasons. And the people end up, it's like, first of all, if they were smart, they just hire Kelly Mantle because she can out-act every single girl that's ever been on RuPaul's Drag Race. Sorry, not sorry.
Vivacious, you know, I have to say, it's always so much fun to talk to with you on the phone. I know you and I like Kiki quite often on the phone, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in Chicago in 2018.
Well, the question, you know, there's a saying from Grace Jones, if they don't mess with you, you don't need to F with them. So if the Chicago people don't want to call me, there's a saying, when one door closes, another door opens, and the Lord will always make a way for you. So maybe Chicago might call me one day. I'm not going to sit and hold my breath in the process. If they do, they do. If they don't, I'll be in the state next door to Chicago.
We just ask you, just please leave the machete at home, okay? We have enough violence here already, okay?
Bring the dick-sucking robot and the 6-foot white boy Lego sex bot and leave the machete in your apartment.
The one with the pneumatic dick. Over, bitch.
The Ornacia heads are still available for folks who want to buy them?
Well, here's the scary part about actually tomorrow I'm mailing off two at 9 o'clock in the morning. What happened was this. After Halloween, I had no intentions on selling anymore. But yeah. I keep getting messages that they want to buy an Ornacia. And then on weird random mornings, I get up and it's like PayPal is like, you have $400. I'm like, what? Which now means I have to go out, run out real quick and make 10 heads and go send them off. So I'm like, if people are going to still keep ordering and keep asking, I'm just going to keep making them.
And so people can send you an email. What's the best way for someone to order an Ornacia head?
When I post it up on Instagram, it says email for details, email vivaciousofficial@gmail.com. And when they email me, I then send them the information.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
And they're right now sort of priced to sell. Like they're how much are they? $400 each?
No, child. I used to sell them for $50. They're now down to $40 because it's like
that's a giveaway. That's exactly. Basically at cost.
Right, literally at cost. I'm like, the big hump has been over, you know, and it's like, let me go down and give it to the ones that, but you know, at the 40 price, you don't get the same exclusive stuff that the ones at 50 get. The ones at 50 get an extra picture, a whole bunch of music sent to them from my iTunes account, you know, stuff like that. And what? then every time I make a new track, I then give it to them instead of them having to buy it from iTunes. I give them my music directly.
Oh, that's so sweet of you.
So, but so whenever you buy one in that sense, you will get music from me for the rest of your life. So even when you're like 65 years old and you're not into grunge pop anymore, I'm going to be like, Vivacious just sent you another track. Bitch!
I'm going to give you life just before you're about to die.
Life before crickets, honey.
Well, thank you, Vivacious, for coming on the podcast.
Frigondas is the new word of 2018. It's a microwave that freezes food instead of heating it, honey. Look it up. Frigondas.
Frigondas?
It's a new invention. and it's a new word that I wanted you to say. Frigondas.
Friganda that bitch.
Instead of cooking her, you're going to freeze her to death.
Friganda, honey. But is that a real technology, though? Because
it's a real technology.
You can super freeze stuff.
It's basically, it works like a reverse microwave, so instead of heating up the food, it's cooling it.
I wonder how long did it take for them to come up with that ability, because it's easier to heat up than to freeze.
Well, it's 2018, so, you know, that long.
Come to Chicago. We're going to cook up a storm. Vivacious, I absolutely love you. It's always a pleasure.
I would love to come to Chicago. Hopefully those children in those Frigando, G-A-N-D-O.
We can, you know what we'll do? Is we'll ask our neighbor, Eric, if you can stay in his. He's a cute white boy. He's married with a woman, but she won't notice. And you can stay at his place. And, you know, I'm sure you can make yourself hospitable to him. If you know what I'm saying.
No.
Yeah, he's really cute.
Y'all are just trying to prey on the fact that y'all know I only used to date straight white
boys. He's straight. So he's a straight white boy.
Now y'all are trying to dangle one in front of me to get me to show up to Chicago. Like,
I'm going to introduce you to him because he doesn't know anything about drag queens at all.
Like the carrot in front of the horse and whatnot.
He's like, he thinks I'm on Drag Race. He was like, oh, isn't that the show you were on? I was like, no. I was like, the bar's been set real low for Drag Race now.
Oh, Lord. So what do you think of Courtney Acton, Celebrity Big Brother UK?
You know, there's all these videos being passed around of her crying, and I don't know what she's weeping about.
I think she's up for elimination.
She's crying about how much money she's going to be making now when she gets out of the Big Brother house. She can triple her fees.
Well, you know what, Courtney? Get to the bank, girl. But if you want to stop by and hit me up and hand me some money, you can do so. And if you want to hand Trinity K. Bonet some money, you can do so. We'll be here waiting for white girl handouts.
Do it, baby. Just be like, Courtney Act, send me the Bianca Bucks.
Yes, honey. Send me the Courtney Ducats.
Courtney Coins.
Courtney Ducats, honey. The Courtney Coins and the Courtney Ducats.
Vivacious, it's so good to hear your voice and to talk to you. I send you lots of love from Chicago.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you so much for having me. It's always wonderful to hear from you guys. And we always get to catch up on current events.
I know.
It's Drag Race.
It's drag season. So you please promise me you'll come back.
Yes.
Yeah, do you guys want to just do this on a regular basis as opposed to, like, I mean, because there's always something to talk about.
maybe
we should do every two episodes, that way we'll have at least two stuff to talk about. But who do you think might be the girl who gets sent to the gulag this week coming up?
Could be Milk.
I was kind of thinking that too. That sounds shady, right?
The thing about Shishi Devane is so sweet.
Yeah.
It's like kicking a puppy. Nobody wants to see Shishi go home, even though she's making some, you know, awkward decisions.
And it could be Thorgy.
See, a lot of people have said to me they would love to see Thorgy leave because they find her very annoying.
That's her whole point. Isn't she trying to be annoying?
But the thing is, she might make for good villainous material. No, Ben De La Creme is already covering the villain. Yeah, Thorgy might be next.
How is Ben a villain? She's not a villain. Because she's good at geniality.
Okay, first of all, the first thing she said when she walks in the dressing room, I really was hoping that Valentina would be here, because at least then if I became rude and became the villain, they would just automatically look at her instead of me.
Yeah, that's a funny thing to say.
No, that's not funny. That's some deep, surreptitious, conniving shit.
Oh. Well, does it mean you can't be Miss Congeniality and Miss Manipulation?
And be a cunt at the same time. Yes.
You know.
Yeah, listen, they can't put every star on All Stars every season. It's like they're saving Valentina for a future season, I guarantee it.
Okay, so RuPaul, I know that y'all always need roach bait to throw off first so you could get me for All Stars 4 while I prove you wrong and snatch your crown.
You need to come up with some fishy looks before she's going to let you back on, girl.
I know, girl. I'm well, guess
moves
the place
for queens, girl.
That's why you got to get on Cooking with Drag Queens so you can show RuPaul that you are. I mean, they've cast like half of the girls from Cooking with Drag Queens on Drag Race. They have.
Half. We've done how many episodes of
like 15 or 16? You know, it's like about 8 of the girls have been on Drag Race. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think our batting average is pretty damn good.
It's pretty good. Well, you know what it is? It speaks to people who like to work, and so they look for that. People who are interested in doing projects and look good on film.
And have an intellect and passion and compassion and thoughts and ideas, like a certain drag queen from New York City that I know.
Yes, Grace Jones is a fierce bitch. I live, too. She should be on Drag Race again.
I don't know about you.
Bitch, I know you're talking about me. It's called deflection.
My favorite Klingon.
Exactly. It's like there's a black fierce Klingon in New York, girl. You should put her back on the show. So now we're all in the running to try to get on AS4.
Today is a good day to slay.
To die. Today is a good day to slay.
love you, Vivacious.
If I go on the show, I'll probably show up as a cunty Klingon going, "Today is a good day to slay."
That would listen. We need to see some original.
Bring your machete.
Bring the machete.
I think Klingons use
original
right?
machete. Y'all are stupid. I can't take you, Mark.
I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastofun.com/plus because your contribution to this show is what makes the show happen. We wouldn't be able to talk to lovely people like Vivacious without you.
Mark, what exactly do people get when they put their money into the Feast of Funty by buying a Feast of Fun Plus membership at feastoffun.com/plus.
Well, they get access to our archives, the vault. We're now on our 14th season, so all of our shows from the past 14 years are there. And after 60 days, the podcasts go into the vault.
Forever.
And then also, you know, we repost some ones every now and then. But also, too, from time to time, you know, we do put some posts behind the paywall. And so if you want access to those, you have to support the show because literally we can't do the show without your support. So if you don't have a membership and, you know, if we're screwed.
Honey, you know, the microphones and the hard drives, the software, and the cables and a lot of effort and love that goes into putting this podcast together is made possible because of the fabulous people like you. And we count on your support. It's like clean water. It's easy to take clean water coming out of your faucet for granted. Not everybody has access to it. And it happens because you take action. You vote. You are politically active. You are Feast of Fun active. You comment on our stuff on social media. You become a Plus member. You care about the future of the show. And you make sure that it's around for future generations. And you know, Mark in Dallas, Texas, he's somebody who made sure that we are around for future generations. And Tito in California is somebody else. And Maria in New Brunswick. She's somebody who's, and I sound like, you know, romper room lady at the end of it. But these are real people who make a contribution every single month in order to make the podcast happen. Sweet Gwendolyn in Austin, Texas. Galaxy in Portland. These people make a difference, and we count on your support, and we thank you guys so much. Vivacious, thank you so much for being a friend and for coming on the show. I love talking to you every single moment.
It's my pleasure, and thank you so much for having me, and it's good to connect with your wonderful fans on Feast of Fun, and it's a pleasure to get to know everyone.
Thank you, Vivacious.
Thank you, Vivacious. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.